see if there's an interruption today. I am finally back inside at the regular computer. We have called for an electrical inspection on my house. So,
okay.
The contractor and the inspector might come by. He said he's set up for today, and I was expecting him hours ago, but he's a no-show. So, but that the morning lectures was with Alan and Alan Aragon, Paul Carter, myself, and we're going to do morning lectures, afternoon gym stuff.
Okay.
So Alan's going to do, like, he's not going to be in the doing stuff in the gym, but he's going to be doing kind of hands-on nutrition-based stuff. And I'm like, let me switch you back here. Where the hell is it?
Scott's getting caught up in the technology now.
There we go.
All right.
Ah, all right, cool.
All right. There he is. There he is. With this Fortitude training tank on. That'll be really cool, man. So that's coming.
There's a bunch of badasses. Yeah, there's a bunch of badasses there. So
yeah.
It's a really, like, it's probably one of the top five gyms in the nation, I guess.
Have you trained there before?
I have not. That's one of the ones. I haven't been there. I've been to Venice, a friend and a dog, believe it or not, in Rhode Island.
Okay.
Last chance to see a dog who's on her way out. She's kind of my dog for years. And I had my big 36-foot RV with a tow behind towed Pontiac Vibe at like 2 in the morning. Like, I'm going. I'm like, here, I found the RV park that I'm going to.
Yeah.
It's a horrible RV park. And I just went and made it happen. I got an awesome workout. There's like one person in the gym.
Good God.
You know, some shifty person, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I usually don't do that, though. I usually get some rest. I eat a couple meals. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I got in that habit for some reason. I've trained in the middle of the night and super strange hours, many, many, many thousands of workouts.
I guess I'm a little bit more spoiled. I haven't done any training like that. I'm like a 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon kind of guy. Before we get into our questions, which we have some good questions later, did somewhere that I could help them improve their training. Say they have a weak body part, then I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, you know, let's look at your leg training or let's look at your back training. Let's see what we can do to change that, because it apparently isn't working as well as it was for you. And it's looking at what's the first thing we do? Because my thought is, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Scott, I want to evaluate what's going on with somebody's legs, because I've seen guys that have strong quads, but then no hamstrings. I've seen guys and that I've been in that situation.
Well, let me take a step back. Usually, okay. This is arms. I hear this question the most. Guys want bigger arms.
Okay,
I get that all the time, like constantly. I can hear Paul Carter's voice in the back of my head because he gets the same thing. People want bigger arms. Can somehow magically twist things around with your training or what have you, such that you don't have to have an excess of calories coming in. You don't have to be growing overall. And you can somehow propel forward the most stubborn muscle group, full legs type fashion or something like that. You have been neglecting them.
Okay.
So, and they're just not growing. And so then you try for the next year to go to gain some leg size, and your weight goes from 200 to 200. It doesn't change. A larger version of yourself.
Yeah.
And in somewhat close to the same proportions. And there's a good deal of truth to that. You can bring up weak muscle groups, but you're not going to take someone who is just like has a Tom Platz relative symmetrical balance in order to put on size in that weaker muscle group. And you may have to just like kind of set, you may have to sacrifice more in terms of conditioning or body fat in order to get the size to happen in those weak muscle groups than you ever did before.
Okay.
If your satellite cells that are in those muscles, I have the sense, I've had this for a while, that there's something that happens developmentally, epigenetically, or in terms of satellite cells based on your activity when you're younger.
Okay.
And
that exercise.
So she was great on the exercise, and you could see it in her musculature too. But so something probably, there was probably some interaction between what she was doing and what was brought, what was activated genetically and epigenetically. So progressive overload, metabolic stress, muscle damage, cell swelling may have an effect, and then stretching, or at least having a full range of motion potentially. And there's a little bit of muscles that are their strong muscles. I think you've talked about this. Like, you probably, if you go and train your calves, you probably get this just ridiculously unbearable pump in your calves.
Sure.
It's like fucking like, and you're complaining about it. Like, oh my God, this hurts so fucking bad. The fact that you get so much metabolic stress, you get such a pump, you get so much cell swelling, probably is connected with the fact that your calves are just ridiculously big.
Okay. Yeah.
So those muscles that you can't get a pump in are also the ones who want to do loaded exercises during full range of motion. But there's something about an active contraction, and you can produce muscle growth with isometrics that it could be a novel stimulus for someone who doesn't do that. A lot of people who've come and done fortitude
training. So on my other spare time, I've been working at a bariatric clinic and dealing with people going into bariatric surgery, and we're giving them liquid diets. You should see this stuff. We give like 14 days of just liquids to try and shrink their stomach because the surgery is so much more complex when we got this gigantic stomach that's been stretched.
People are new. And this gets back to what basically the global theme that I'm getting at here with bringing up this weak muscle group is that if you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting, as Ronnie used to say.
Yeah.
You got to do something different. You have to create a novelty of stimulus if you want to create
resistant, right? So now you combine insulin with the growth hormone. Now we know that growth hormone will stimulate IGF-1 in the liver, right?
Right.
So what we've forgotten, though, and I don't know if I'm the only one that has thought about this, but you have...
Like Prillo used to do these, and Dante always gave credit to Prillo. He used to have people do stretches between exercises, or between sets for an exercise. And I have people do it afterwards for an extended period, 60, 90 seconds.
Messaging that's happening, we're having a feedback between large consumptions of food, growing the gut itself, just because, you know, you're bloated, you're eating all this food.
Right.
Then you've got these two hormones that are competing for this receptor, and you're by large doses of growth hormone, you're increasing insulin-like.
So you're stretching both the rectus femoris, the iliopsoas a little bit, and the quad.
Mm.
And then contract during that as you try to deepen the stretch somewhat.
Yeah.
After you've just trained, those are absolutely brutal. You will feel pain.
About insulin in bodybuilding terms, a lot of it is, you know, your Humulin R or your Humalog, the really fast acting stuff. What are your thoughts about longer acting insulins like Lantus for bodybuilding purposes?
Okay, so let's go through the insulins, everybody.
Towards that failure point, they'll take a break.
Okay.
They'll stop for a split second. That releases the tension in the muscle, allows the blood flow to carry out waste products that are activating those pain fibers, the nociceptor pyrus. That's why you do that.
It's insulin glulysine. Then you've got Humalog, which is the second fastest, and then which is still fast. They're all rapid, but then you have Humalog. But in terms of just the minute start time, fastest start time is a Apedra, and they're actually coming out.
Avoiding those extended sets like that to save the nervous system taxation.
Okay.
That's the reason why I have continuous sets, and we'll get to that with the DC training question that we'll get to later if we have time.
Okay.
But yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about, is that people are trying to avoid.
Of insulin. It was such a force of nature because finally we started prescribing insulin at a rapid fire to type 2s. We started seeing benefit. Now, type 1s were exclusive. We knew we needed to give them insulin. That was pretty cut and dry. For type 2s, it's like...
You're trying to hurt yourself.
Yeah, right, right.
In a non-injurious way.
Right.
Yeah, right. So that's the whole thing. So this stretch, especially the extreme stretch, is when you're holding a load. And of course that requires a contraction to hold the load and
42 hour
wow.
turtle speed insulin, turtle speed. I mean, turtle, the chances of they did studies, severe hypoglycemia was like less than 0.2002%, like 0.002%, you know, to get hypoglycemia
there too. So if you have people train knee extensions at 30 degrees in knee flexion versus 90 degrees in knee flexion, they'll get better at the 30 degree training. If they train at that angle, than if they do at 90 degree, there's an angle specificity of training effect there.
I can see.
So
that.
It's
give a basal insulin once a day. Lantus I would give twice a day. These longer acting insulins you could give once a day, and Tresiba, it's 42 hours. You almost give every other day, but I would stick to a 24 hour schedule. But wouldn't it be interesting, Scott? You're a guy who's taken growth hormone, who's looking
in, probably produces an angle specific increase in strength and ability to contract there, and it's probably stability in the joint, blah, 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 in a way that is a good thing in terms of preventing an injury. It can't be bad to a practice producing.
And eat real food. You need carbohydrates, eat real food. We need the fiber in our diet. We don't need a freaking insulin spike. Your body will repair and rebuild its glycogen. And if you're taking some exogenous insulin, believe me, it will do it even better. So you don't certainly don't need to poison your body with more.
I who's been training for 5 years, you know, the first thought is to just do, like you said, you know, just do this consistent push-pull legs. You're training everything consistently the same. And then you find that you have a weakness. I think the first thing my thought was to figure out what that weakness was.
A 24-hour, a 36-hour, whatever. And that would, the chances of hypoglycemia is slim to none. It will fix your fasting. So what you do is you take your insulin before you go to bed.
Okay.
And you want to have a fasting sugar between 75 and 85. So if you're
sweep, but then the adductors looked weaker, or maybe my quads were stronger, but then the hamstrings were weaker. And it's almost for me, it was like figuring out how to make those legs improve. It was figuring out what was doing the work to begin with, because
the cell is recovering, it's rebuilding, it's repairing at a faster rate, which is different from any of the other hormones that you might take, you know, because basically all hormones decline in the body. You see a decline in growth hormone, you see a decline, and then that would be IGF-1. Then you'd see a decline in testosterone and estrogen. So
fucking legs.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like if you're, let's say you're 5'8 or 5'10 and you're 170 pounds soaking wet with a bag of nickels in your pocket, as he used to say, Sunrise Steel, and all these Dantes are coming up, popping in my head, but they all make sense. Then
diet, which is big time anti-insulin, stressing the daylights out of your beta cell. Yeah. You guys are crazy to think that down the line, you may not potentiate a type of insulin intolerance that you don't even know exists because your doctor won't see it, because he'll do your bloods and you'll say, oh, well, you fall between
the extensors of the hamstrings, knee flexors, hip extensors. So, and you can figure that out by obviously looking at the biomechanics, or Paul's favorite topic, look at the EMG, which I would do. That would be my last choice. Or where you feel it during the exercise.
The big place, you know, where it goes back to that very first question, is it really dangerous or is it almost necessary in the lifestyle that we choose to live? If you're living it the way you want to, in terms of being a professional body and bodybuilder and doing it the best way possible, because
produce in terms of EMG activity relative to an isometric max or however they relativized it. But all that, none of that friggin' matters if the way you do things, you don't feel it in the muscles that you want to feel it in.
Mm.
And
that could perpetuate and potentially a problem later on.
You know what? One thing that you mentioned, and I just kind of want to point that out. It sounds like what you're telling me is if one were to use insulin for bodybuilding purposes, you would suggest that.
I feel it in my legs to a certain degree, but I would feel it in my glutes. And I saw what grew and I saw what was sore. And so that exercise was a poor choice for me.
Hmm.
That's basically goes back to being your own bodybuilding coach, be your own Buddha, trusting your own self, listen
to your beta cell. You're going to do this stuff, right? If you're going to eat these massive amount of carbs, you better know what you're doing and you better take insulin. Because if you don't, you're going to end up with a problem. Do you know what I mean? So if you don't know what you're doing with insulin, you're scared of it, you think it's going to kill you, whatever you think, okay? Or you need
glycolysis and some of the same basic processes, but if you look at how those things all fit together, it's all over the place.
Hmm, yeah.
And that's, you know, that's one of the topics I'll talk about. Like, just look at people's body fats. Go to the mall, look at body fat. Look at how well people grow in the gym.
Calories, right? You can get far more calories out of fat. I mean, Dave will say this too, but it's true. Without overfeeding yourself, all this, I mean, you got to eat double the amount of carbs that you would have fat, right? And I mean, really, to build muscle, you need protein and you need fat, right?
Yeah.
Those are the essential nutrients that we need.
And big Rami type of people.
Yeah.
That grow like friggin' weeds. So there's no reason then to think, and you can look at the data if you could have access to it, you're going to see the same things in terms of relative activation of quads versus hamstrings.
And fine. I mean, I train for like an hour and 20 hours. You know, I don't do twice a days anymore. I don't do freaking marathon workouts. Why would you do that? I mean, people that do that, I don't understand what they're doing, you know, because then you're just going to perpetuate catabolic hormones than anabolic hormones, you know? So it's like, I just
agree. Then get funky with it, which is another Danteism. Find an exercise and do it in a way that works for you. If you want more hamstrings, obviously things like use a wider stance, externally rotate, That'll get your glutes involved a little bit more too.
Say, oh, fuck it, I'm done. It'll say, wow, thank you. I am going to live forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess that one of the things I guess I'm seeing is, you know, I think about some of the guys I know that are really big, you know, pushing 300 pounds. They
that's like one of the next kind of big topics. But did that cover your
It does.
Idea there? Yeah. So
yeah,
get the right exercises and then vary them for you.
Okay. Yeah, because I think that in itself, I feel like any of these things could really be
shit every day. I see these people really dying, you know, and I see really healthy bodybuilders with problems. I mean, over and over again. I mean, Scott, it starts to become frustrating with every time my phone's ringing. Like, I woke up, my blood sugar's, you know, what the hell, blah blah blah. And you know, we got to talk insulin, you know.
Yeah.
And what did you do pre? You know, what happened?
You know, let's say you're just kind of built like a mountain gorilla with small legs and huge arms, upper body.
Yeah.
That's probably not what you want for a bodybuilding stage.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be able to, you know, equalize those things in a way that creates the prettiest physique possible.
Absolutely.
But you have to be growing over.
In the notion of, I mean, shit, I got up to 200 plus pounds and I was not eating a lot of carbs, but you know, remember I have to take insulin. I get that.
Yeah.
But, I just ate shitload of fat. I mean, ask Dave, I'd eat peanut butter. I'd eat like a jar of peanut butter a day, you know, and I got up to like, that was
seeing this, initiating the a lot of people, like even with beginners, you can just tell them, like on a lot of the studies been done with like a bench press, so they use your triceps more or use your pecs more.
Assets, and okay. If they're there, it's going to help rebuild. We know this. I mean, that's why that's really when we think about that, we think, wow, insulin, you know, and it's going to then look for the glucose molecule and it's going to pull that in and it's going to store it as glycogen. But we only have limited stores of glycogen, so once that's filled up,
wow. Came out of nowhere. An external attentional focus like a powerlifter has.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as the bar goes from point A to point B, that's all that matters.
Right.
And their, you know, their knees get to the right angle or their hips roll to the knee.
Right. Is like pizza or like pasta with like fat, you know, like an Alfredo sauce because you're insulin.
It sounds good though. I'll take it.
Good, I know, right? And then you've got the fat there. But I think when you're talking about
what's being produced internally as the stimulus by recording in a logbook and watching externally what happens with the weight in terms of the load and the reps, the number of sets.
That's right. So how would you take insulin for that? So that's a relatively, I mean, let's do the calories really quick. So 60 times 9, 540 calories for the fat. Then you'd have, so that's 50 grams of protein. That's 200, right? 400. So that's almost 1,000, right?
That produces the muscle growth.
Hmm.
So you would want to move the load through a range of motion to complete a full repetition, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like, for instance, here's a great example. Break this down because now I was getting a little esoteric there. You'll see sometimes
are going to count for insulin. So if you're 1 to 10, that's 2 units of insulin there. Then you got your 30 grams of carbs, right? So now that's 3. So that's 5 units of insulin.
Okay.
Then you got that fat. So that fat now is going to delay the absorption. So you're not going to really have an insulin spike, right?
Which feels like it can best activate the chest. And in this case, with a big heavy weight, for a lot of those guys, going really, really deep didn't make sense.
Right.
So they didn't do that. And going to the end just meant fatiguing the triceps.
Sounds like a big factor here for not storing body fat is moderation.
Right. And how about this? I think you'd have much more better chance of storing fat if you're going to take 20 grams of, you're going to take 200 grams of carbs and take 20 units of insulin.
Sure.
That's
training the pecs. And they're not worried about someone saying on Instagram, bruh, what's up with your partial reps? Like, do a full rep. Like, what's up with that? Full rep doesn't matter. Like, no one's
insulin to better kind of, you know, proportion those that food that you're eating and better shuttle it into whatever your, you know, your fats, your proteins, and your muscle.
Okay. That kind of answers one of my questions. I was going to ask you about
max, something like that.
Hmm.
So if your reps are getting below like maybe 6 or 8, then you've gone above where most people can maintain a mind-muscle connection.
Hmm.
in those studies, and those are using EMGs, so they do have, the EMG does have some value.
And they're taking growth hormone, they could benefit from a long-acting insulin, never worry about hypoglycemia, have great blood sugars. Overall, I think if you wanted life extension, that type of diet on a bodybuilding platform where you've got your growth hormone, you've got your whatever else you're doing, could be wonderful, right?
At max. So once you get to that heavier load, in order just to move it, you have to use everything.
Yeah.
You can't preferentially train. So if you're triceps dominant or you're a delt presser, as a lot of people are, and you've gone too heavy, you can't make that into a chest exercise.
It's pretty much two. It does most of its work in 2 hours. It's pretty much on its way out in four. So you could give yourself little bits. I'm talking 3 units.
Yeah.
Nothing. Throughout the day, number one, you're never going to get fat. Okay? Never going to get fat. Number two, you're really just going to be utilizing that insulin.
I couldn't have a mind-muscle connect. I literally, it was mathematically, physiologically impossible for me to have a mind-muscle connection and still do those types of reps.
Yeah.
With that heavy load and make it into a quad exercise, which is what I would have preferred.
You feel almost hypoglycemic. I mean, to me, who wants to live their life like that? I mean, that's, you just feel like shit. So if you actually give insulin, then your beta cell actually starts to moderate a little bit better. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Okay.
Actually, it's so funny because when I've had this debate with people, when they say, when the beginning...
Your packs. I want your best mind-muscle connection. We're going to get your one rep max. Maintain that best mind-muscle connection. You're a highly disciplined, Jedi of the weight room. And you can do that. Well, you're especially like with the, like for me when I'm
going this direction. You just mentioned something, keto diet. What's that?
It's always worth a try. I always tell you, I have a couple guys that do this with me, and they would never do anything different. I mean, this guy that I mean, he is just he's an amazing. He's
delts. So if I like use a true mind muscle connection, and make my chest the target muscle and the weak link on pressing movements, then I'm a lot weaker.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah. So you can look at that and just take the comment. So let's say
insulin would be used on a ketogenic diet. Because my first thought is, you know, like you've said on the message boards, if you read online, everybody always says you have to feed the insulin and you have to use 10 grams of carbs per unit and blah, blah, blah. So how is it that you can use...
That works for you? Or if like if you're doing a leg press... like I have people do like a low close leg press, so they bring their feet really close and low on the foot plate. That tends to hit the quads really, really well. Just by
40, maybe a 50-30-20 kind of thing.
Okay.
So there's enough protein that would kind of satisfy a bodybuilder. And you've got then like 40% of it's fat and maybe
guess what? The weight's gonna have to go down if you're going to have the mind-muscle connection.
Yeah.
That's just the math of it. Now you're trying to rely more upon the smaller muscle mass, and you're basically disengaging, which can happen too. The research shows that people can disengage.
Okay, so I put them on a keto diet. These are people on insulin. Day one, they're eating nothing but like just no fat at all, chicken, and maybe some vegetables, right? And you look at their total daily dose. Then you add in the fat, their total daily dose goes up. So fat is not...
I get sore doing this exercise either. I'm going to give it up. I don't want to, but I have limited equipment, various reasons. I'm still going to do these leg presses. You're not going to be able to use six plates anymore.
Yeah.
If you're being true to the mind-muscle connection.
At least not for a while until you relearn it. Is there anything else that...
So these are like really small syringes. You can see one unit.
Yeah.
But it's been done. And I was looking for the article to show you tonight. There was a guy that wrote like an excellent article. And if I can find it, Scott, this guy, I mean, I was reading it. I was like, oh my God, this guy is like right after my own heart. You know,
yeah.
He was
Gordon and I looked at my physique and we all determined I had better thickness than I did back width. And something about my lats wasn't activating. And you had brainstormed with me on some things I could do. It's been, you know, a year.
You need to test your fasting sugar. You got to know where your fasting sugar starts out. You should know your pre and post. You know, this is before you even take it. You know, let's see where you are. Just where are you? You know what I mean? It'd be nice to get an A1C to see where you are on the spectrum. How well is your insulin working now? Hey, why don't we get an insulin level on you too?
Pull downs didn't feel as strong. I could do just pull downs and my lats are going to be sore from that. Like the outer through through the armpit down. That's all of that outer, like I could feel it now. I could feel it contracting. I could feel the blood in that outer back. And it's something that I had mentioned this before too. When we were talking before we actually did the interview, you said you have ideas for rejuvenation that involve using insulin. So I really want to hear more about this, and you've touched on it a little bit, but can you explain this to me? And we'll be back. Also, I wanted to say, Gerardo, happy birthday to you. He's one of our listeners, and he just posted saying, hey, guys. So it was his birthday, and he had given me some suggestions on the lighting. So I appreciate it very much, man. I hope you're having a great birthday.
And deny the fact that it's really advanced glycosylated end products. There's even actually facial creams that talk about these things. We know that that's kind of the root of all evil, and that we know that when we age, the beta cell is really not highly functioning as it was.
Their name off of producing high quality supplements that work, not just off of flashy marketing and gimmicks. I've used a lot of their products over the years, as have a lot of my clients. Currently, I'm using the MPA muscle intrusion along with the
and blood glucose and Alzheimer's disease and dementia and insulin. We are doing clinical trials now with Lantus to prevent dementia, using insulin. These people do not have diabetes because the glucose, the brain, is being exposed to too much glucose. And it's
our YouTube page. If you're listening to this commercial, you're listening to the audio podcast. And we also have video available. That is over at the Advices Radio YouTube page. So check that out and be sure to subscribe over there.
Fortunately, some of your fat cells, like, you know, that's why we have to work out. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's why we have to watch what we eat. That's why we can't eat all this crappy sugar. You know what I mean? It goes back to that whole idea, you know? So I think what we're going to start to see when you start to go, this is down the line. Once we figure this all out, you know, once you're
Amazon, or you can go to byobbcoach.com and order the hardcover there. You can also go to fortitudetraining.net to check out his training program. All right, guys, let's get back to Muscle Minds and get to listener questions.
Really, down the line, you're going to start to see this notion where we're going to start to be using some of these 24-hour, 36-hour, 42-hour insulin to help our beta cell function better, help our brain function better, help our fasting sugars function better, get rid of these advanced glycosylated end.
Christian Duke calling himself the Iron Duke. I don't know if that's him.
Yeah.
He says, hi, fellas. I have a question for both of you. How would you recommend I maintain muscle over a layoff?
But like me, I mean, I don't really think because I know so much, I don't think it's going to do anything because I keep my blood sugars. My fasting sugars are like 75, 78. I make sure my fasting sugar is like perfect, you know? And so I can do that because I take insulin. You know, you guys, I don't know. Some of the, you know.
And so I would assume the excess fat will be the preferred fuel source. I've never had a training break longer than a week or so. I am not sure what to expect. Looking forward to your
input. Be like, you know, that's just watch your diet. The problem is people aren't doing that. You know what I mean? And I might, but bodybuilders aren't still because they're desperate to grow. They don't even care. They're like, oh, it's not a big deal. That's the problem though. You know what I mean? Is they're so desperate to get big that they're overlooking one of the main
back. At the same time, I think of, remember when Victor Martinez got held by an ICE detention camp or facility, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And his thought was, he was like, what I want to do is stay lean and I'll lose muscle for a month period. I think that, you know, he could hop back on cycle and get that back in no time. I would say if you're like Victor Martinez, my thought would be to stay lean, because his thought was he didn't want to have to fight all that fat after he got out. So he tried to just dial his nutrition back.
D-blog and that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how it's received. I still think there's a lot of information in a relatively untapped demographic for this TRT bodybuilding. But, you know, we'll see. You know, I put it out there. If it's not something that, you know.
I wouldn't be totally terribly concerned, to be honest. But, yeah, if fat is his issue or if muscle's issue, just, you know, diet accordingly, you know, or don't diet. You know, try to hold the size and don't worry about the body fat. He can obviously do.
Psycho! Copy! Cocaine! Crazy! Psycho! Copy! Cocaine!
asked this question, I don't know how long ago, because we're kind of lacking here on getting to these very, very quickly, but it was over and done with. But I would like train like really hard. Yeah. So like that first like week or so is like basically a deload that he needed anyhow. Training is perfectly appropriate.
Right.
So he could do that. Literally, he could get, you know, if there's, he could basically overreach right up until that surgery and do it that way. Hmm. So, but yeah, like don't, I wouldn't neglect the fact that he can do a lot of cardio. Makes you high, makes you high. Do you really want to think and stop? Stop your eyes from flowing up. A few weeks ago, God, it was kind of unusual. Like, he wanted to know, he asked a bunch of questions. He was really highly motivated to make gains and all these sorts of things. And then I can't remember exact details, but then he got to the question. Oh, by the way, I'm going on a family vacation.
It is prevalent in the skin. So if DHT is causing your acne, DHT blockers can help, but it all is determined by if that's really causing your acne. If it's not causing your acne, if it has to do with more than like it has
45 minutes three times a week to get in a quick workout, but
right.
But in his case, he was just like, just totally doing other stuff. Hmm. So he could like think, okay, what else? What do I have to do? Like, what's the shit around the house I haven't done?
Hmm.
Or like, what's another project I want to do? Or is this just
something else? Then you need to go towards that.
Yeah, I wonder because I mean, okay, so DHT, one of the effects you're going to get from that is going to be oily skin, and so oily mm-hmm. skin could. So it may be helpful, but I at the same time. Something to consider is that I know
what's going on with us or doing things that we think we should be doing, we want to be doing, and we just keep putting them off by staying in our day-to-day pattern.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something in your life, this kind of goes for everybody, like what's like, you know what? I need
keeping your skin clean, you know, antibacterial soap. Dial is the bar that I would suggest starting with. Dial antibacterial bar soap, making sure that your pillowcases are clean. So you figure you put your face on that pillow for, you know, 7 hours a night.
In training, and I used it as a covering strategy to cover up shit that I don't want to have to face.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so this could be like, you know what? This is an not that this guy has like any, you know, deep-seated psychological issues he needs to get at, but a lot of times it gives you a chance to do something with your life that's
on 5-alpha reductase.
Yeah.
And it's talking about 5-alpha reductase inhibition, and it's saying gyno-erectile dysfunction, impaired cognitive function, fatigue, hypoglycemia, impaired liver function, constipation, and depression are only a few of the possible side effects of 5-alpha.
You know, that you really think you should, you know, and now you have the opportunity. Yeah. Instead of going to work out, you spend those times visiting with your grandmother. Yeah. Whatever.
I think that'll keep you long term from developing any kind of resentments to bodybuilding either. Because if you
like in medicine, they tell us to go to the stuff that's least invasive to the stuff that's most invasive. And that's kind of what I would recommend with you right now.
I find that side effects are often related to fluctuation in hormone. So if you're doing something that is taken twice a week.
Yeah.
Like really go sample. It's like it's actually can be quite a blessing in disguise. To say, you can't train. You have to find some time to something to do to fill that time. What is the best what's the best thing you could do? The most gratifying, rewarding.
You can burn incredibly easy on tetracyclines. So, like as far as for sunlight, they tell you on the bottle to stay away from sunlight. The other thing is too is like if you take antibiotics, make sure you do it under the direction of a doctor. A lot of the bacteria is becoming
like, oh yeah, there is a world outside of this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would never want to impose my value system on someone else. You know, some people, you know, they're wired, you know, let's say that, you know, they just, for whatever reason, genetic.
Dasiglar, which will be your generic Lantus, is a 24 hour. So imagine this, if you took think about this, Scott. Really think about what I'm saying. If you took 24 units, which I would never recommend, I usually have my guys anywhere between, I mean, at night, I usually have them split dose. But
that I question the most, the scenario like that is when because I get this a lot, with, especially with fortitude training, is when people say to me, they say, I know I would make better gains as a bodybuilder if I could get myself to just train four times.
24 units, you're getting 1 unit an hour. Okay.
Okay.
So Lantis, the company was able to give you 24-hour release. It kind of gives, it's like a 12 to like 16 to 18. It's still kind of working after 24.
Okay.
But you get if it's bang at 12. So I kind of have my
much to be the best bodybuilder I can, but I can't stop myself. That then is like, okay, now you, now I'd love to help you. Let's figure out a way around it. But some people, I don't, you know, I don't know. Like you would just like, there would be, have to be so much internal evolution and work to be.
It's not going to cause insulin resistance, right? So you're going to get the more bang for your buck in that growth hormone, right?
Interesting.
And then your fasting sugar is going to be phenomenal. You know, you'll wake up in the, you know, we'll see how, where you wake up, depending on how much growth hormone you're taking, you know?
Okay. But, I'm up, you know, to speed then. I see where you're going with it.
Fucking honesty. There is a guy, he just, I just responded to him this morning. He posted a thread and he just started fortitude training. And he's the name of it, title of his thread was, I'm a dick and I just had my first experience with the
that I take as well. I actually talked to Steve Blackman about this a long time ago. I don't know if you remember. And I said, Steve, I think a great weight loss drug would be using amylin. And he actually, he, there's a MD article back in the mid 2000s where he spoke about amylin.
A day or something like that, and had, he couldn't get it up because he was so fucking, it was just like he destroyed himself.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but he came back and he posted on the board, which was great, you know, because it's anonymous. I mean, I could figure out where he is if I wanted to trace his IP, but I'm not going.
Your body can grow. Your cells are more receptive to insulin. Listen, metformin, you and I should do a talk on metformin, just metformin alone.
Yeah, it's so popular right now, too. There's so many people using it.
Everybody's talking about it. It's hard to deny some of its properties. It's just, I don't like the GI side effects. I don't like the fact that it's metabolic.
Someone is training 7 days a week like that, and they just, they keep on doing that. You know, you hate to have them learn, take decades to learn, like, oh shit, I wasted my life. But sometimes, like, this only way, that's the whole, we have to learn the
hard. We have growth hormone in general. You know, we know that it's somewhat effective for building muscle. Would it be a better alternative to go that route using growth hormone for muscle gains for a female without risking as many of the virilization issues? Or
it creates a little bit of a paper trail that will resonate at some point in time. It's like, you know what? McNally told me that and Stevenson told me that. And like, I've heard about, like 15 people that, whose opinions I respect tell me that. And it matches with my own experience. I think I'm going to stop now rather than do this for the next 5 years.
Yeah. Illusion. It's such a great illusion. When you see you guys in clothes, you still look small.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. So the point is, you could get away with, I always tell the women, really no more than two. If you got the real thing, so you wouldn't really see the insulin resistance.
Says Scott Stevenson, looking back at the philosophies regarding DC style training and eating, which ones do you differ or disagree with?
And did Ken answer this question?
He did. He answered this.
Explore as well. But, you know, I remember Dave was a big believer in this. He's like, Colette, you really don't need anything more than, like, you know, he was always so, I mean, really, honestly, I feel like he saved me that. People were always like, oh my God, he's going to destroy you. I'm like, he did the absolute opposite. He was like, I don't want you taking, I mean, I competed on some
non-intense muscle. If you need to, go to the three-way split. If you're an older guy, use the other split, like the five-way split that he's come up with. But do it the way he's written it out so you can compare notes with thousands of people who've got logs who've done it that way. That's a tremendous resource upon which.
Take. I just, you know, I was like, I mean, I was strong. I lifted with passion, and I just thought that, you know, I didn't want to have side effects, honestly. I didn't want to shave my face. I didn't, you know, I didn't lose my sight of myself in this whole quest because I love muscle.
With Dave Henry on Dave Henry's video.
Yeah. Yeah. I introduced Dave to DC training and to Dante.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way back when. So
that's the first time I ever saw you with your long hair at the time, just like on the book.
Yeah.
Winstrel would be kind of like a second step after Anavar, but I totally agree. I've talked to a lot of women that have had issues specifically from Winstrel and specifically with voice changes. It seems like it's really bad for that.
Really bad. I mean, my voice, listen, I mean, it's changed.
Great.
Yeah.
So it depends on the person. So I did some things that for me, and this is all sort of trying to trip me out there with the glasses thing.
They looked a little bent to me, so I was trying to.
I know.
To,
you made me bend them. Mine, I think. these glasses.
Holy shit, you know, like, I mean, it's up to you, you know? I mean, I guess, I mean, listen, hey, whatever you want to do, I could care less. It's whatever you want to do, but
sure.
I think you gotta want to walk away from this. Like, you're, you know, when I started doing this, like, man, I was in my 20s, you know? Yeah. I mean, I started.
In my 40s training book. So one of the things is that there's variation in recovery among individuals. And so once one program won't fit all, I put in 3 volume tiers in mine in fortitude training. Compared to DC.
I'm always like, ah, you know, dotting my I's and crossing my T's and everything, you know?
I think too, and part of it might be, I'm just going to guess that you probably have pretty decent genetics for growing muscle. I've talked to a lot of women that may not have as good a genetics and they think they want to make up.
It's hard. Yeah. People don't know that, but if you look back, that's originally kind of how I put it together. Okay. And Dante went through the same kind of process that I did too, which, you know, was predates. I think it's in the Cycles for Pennies thread that was on the Animal Kits board.
Defy the odds, but half of this game with bodybuilding is God-given genetics, man. Sure. It's just it. You're born with nice broad shoulders, a tiny waist, you know, great sweep on your thigh. I mean, some people just shouldn't be on stage. I mean, you can do it. Hey, man, you want to get up there? I will root you on.
For more advanced people, and then you would add Widowmakers to bring up weak body parts. So as opposed to just doing like a Widowmaker for quads or thighs, like a squat Widowmaker, a leg press, what have you, he would have people do those for.
I could look better, but I could only do that for so long before I'd start having issues too.
Right. I mean, like it's so hard to look at yourself in the mirror and just be, you know, your worst critic, you know, and you get lost in the delusions.
I mean, I do like a knee extension Widowmaker on one day. And then you might do like a back pull down Widowmaker another day, and then like a chest Widowmaker. And maybe if you're like a really good recovery, you could maybe add a triceps one in, and then a biceps one.
Come from some insecure place in our deep depths of our soul that create this type of desire. I don't know if I'm always right about that. I spoke about that before, but I know where I come from. Like I was always trying to outdo the fact that I was diagnosed with type 1.
So freaking hard, volume tier 1 is what they do. It's the lowest volume. And some people can handle volume tier 3. And that's a combination of how hard you train versus how well you recover. If you can't train very hard, then you can handle higher volume.
Yeah.
But if you can't recover very well, you can't handle higher volume.
It's crazy strength. I know it did because I was always very, even at a young age, I was always, my mom was so diligent about me taking my, I never missed insulin shots. I was like so diligent about it. And I didn't understand how I could be so strong. I mean, Scott, some of the things I did, I mean, no
type of approach. So Dante had like the heavy sets, rest pause sets, and then you have Widowmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got kind of parallel to that. And I give him credit for all this. I've got what I call loading sets. I've got muscle rounds and I've got pump sets.
It's a constant monitoring. It's a pain in the ass. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
there can't be anything worse, really. I mean, but you got to do it. And bodybuilding kind of made me feel like, you know, I was part of the gang, you know, like when I got into bodybuilding in college, you know, everybody did what I did.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's Widowmaker. Like you made your wife into a widow. You don't want that in real life, but that's the idea of the set is that it's just the death set. It's
right.
Crazy. You have a death wish. That destroys your nervous system.
Hmm.
Just tears you up. And what you got to before, I told you.
Hemoglobin A1C, you want to be truly, you really want to be less than 5. If you're between 5 and 5.6, I'm not saying to be worried. I'm saying that you could do better than that. If you're 5.6 to 6.4.
One, then your force set is for shit.
Mm.
Something about that failure point, it may be impacting the muscle in and of itself. There may be some damage that goes on. So the contractile material is damaged, so you can't produce as much force, and that's why your performance goes down.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it has to do with your nerve.
Important to know.
Who are you in this world? I don't care if you've never taken any of those things. If you're a natural athlete, but you know you've been quest to grow and you're doing things like that could be lifestyle, you know, contraindicated. You're not sleeping enough. You're taking a bunch of stimulants. Come on, some of that stuff is just as bad.
Or if it's the last of your loading sets, or if it's an isolation exercise, you can do it too. Or it's the end of your pump set, then you go to failure, but just once.
Hmm.
You minimize that, so you can accrue more volume of training with minimizing
the with some of the over the counter stuff, like using chromium picolinate and berberine HCl, things like that for blood sugar issues.
Sure, we could talk all about that.
That would be cool.
I'd also like to talk some very interesting
failure points. I love to train that way, but I did that by keeping the reps continuous and setting up the muscle rounds different from a rest pause set in DC training. Hmm. Only one failure point as opposed to three. And the last of the loading sets and the comp exercises are failure points.
Okay.
And we should really talk about it. And it is absolutely proliferating in the weight loss circles. It's not indicated for weight loss, but it's being utilized off-label weight loss. But let me just tell you something. It's pretty incredible if you think about how it works. And you think
I'm coming back to do that. So those guys, you'll see, you can look at the volume, the velocity of the bar, and actually the research has now borne this out pretty conclusively, that bar velocity tells you how close to failure someone is.
The what?
So
what do you bar mean? What do you, well, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Talk to you soon. Bye, sweetie.
Guys, for Advices Radio, this has been IFBB Pro Colette Nelson. I'm Scott McNally. Keep grinding. But until you reach failure?
With more training, your muscle endurance, no.
Coming up here, we've got a show at the end of this month, and then right at the beginning of September, there's going to be a couple more, and then we've got the big ones at the back in the fall, so... It looks like you're going to be gunning for Central States 2017, huh?
Well, that's the plan.
So someone who's not in very good shape, they just peter out and they just fucking die.
Okay.
So they got the sets chugging along.
Yeah.
And the velocity's looking good. And all of a sudden, they just crash.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of that's because they don't know how to push. Mm. They don't like the pain.
Yeah.
And they get.
That's basically, it's a multi-year plan to do the Central States, not this year, but the following year, and then immediately after that show, go right into the off season and start preparing for.
You're not gonna go that fast.
Yeah.
You're gonna be controlled in the weight, so you'll have lots of controlled reps at the same bar velocity, which a good advanced trainee will have, and then as you get to the end, the bar velocity will slowly, gradually go down.
Progress, man.
And I think, too, that sometimes when you're advanced and you've been training a lot of years and I think maybe sometimes even age has a little bit to do with it. I think that you really need to sometimes think outside the box.
Those three.
Yeah.
I mentioned that in the book, too, that those are the three that I know fairly well, because I co-wrote John's book, Brutality of Mountain Dog Training. And obviously I know DC training pretty well. And then I heard of this fortitude training thing. I heard it's good. I just, I think it's a good idea. So
really been thinking about, if I want to make differences, I need to change some things up. So
wow.
I figured, why not think outside the box and try some stuff that's unrelated, but that can still help me. And,
you pick your exercises for the muscle rounds, and it's got its own, twists and turns. So they're all very, it's funny enough, they all have a lot of, the basic fundamental principles are built into all the programs, and they on the super.
So I still have a ways to go, and I'm still improving. If I wasn't improving, and I had, there's a couple. I'll be honest. If there was a couple factors, if I wasn't improving, and I was getting worse, and another thing too, this might sound weird, but if I had like loose skin, like
mountain dog stuff earlier on,
you've been graduating to lower frequency.
I'm sorry. Lower volume.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and higher frequency.
Yeah. Yeah. Lower volume, okay. Higher frequency.
All right. Yeah. That's what I thought you meant.
The back stuff's really working, by the way, man. I'm really happy with it. So
I'm waiting for the.
Who knows? I might not get there at 50. It might take me a little longer. But as far as the competing plans, that's what we're looking at.
Well, right on, man. If anybody who's listening wants to get a hold of you, how can they reach out?
Warroomnutrition.com. And
yeah.
So yeah, March, April, May, and June.
Yeah, something like that.
4 months?
Yeah, 4 months. And I had been training a little bit longer than that, but it wasn't until I got a couple months in that I could feel like I really get the connection now. So
is it a thong pick or?
So it's coming along, man.
All right, brother.
Are you training today?
No, today's an off day.
Me
today
as well.
We avoided electrical inspection so far, so it's probably not happening, but I'm glad they didn't show up. So, I'm going to just work around the house.
Nice. Well, for everybody who finds with Dr. Scott Stevenson, I'm Scott McNally. We'll see you soon.
Adios.